everyone, welcome back to Affirmative Reaction here on SiriusXM Progress Channel 127. I'm your host, Jorge Olivares. Now, if you haven't had a chance to do so, you need to start binge-watching Pose, because the first season's on Netflix, second season's full force on FX. You can watch it literally wherever you have an opportunity to do so. But one of the most interesting storylines in this second season revolves around my next guest, because his character, Ricky, we've seen how he was sort of plucked from obscurity, brought into the house, to the houses, how he's been integrated into the different houses that we've seen in the show, and in the second season really see an opportunity of growth, but also some of the bad parts that come with being a young person of color in the early 90s. And so something that I think we can all attest this all to is the performance by DeLon Burnside, who plays Ricky Evangelista on Pose. And I'm very excited to welcome DeLon to the show to talk about not only this new season, but kind of what brought him to this point. So DeLon, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
What is it like when you realize that the show that, you know, especially when you're a member of the LGBT community, we've known about this show for a while, but now literally everybody is talking about this show. Everybody's sharing memes from the show. Everybody's talking about the importance of having this cast on TV.
Yeah.
When you know that you are part of a show that now has 6 Emmy Award nominations, that is making history, do you pinch yourself every day?
I mean, it's like a dream come true. It's, you know, we, as an actor, I've dreamed of being a part of something like this. I've dreamed of being a part of something that is changing the world, but also respected by my peers and the industry. And so it truly is sort of unreal, but at the same time, really like believable, because it's like, this is exactly what we hope for.
Yeah.
You know,
how long have you lived in New York for?
I've lived in New York going on 8 years now.
You're originally from Florida.
I'm originally from Pensacola, Florida.
So when you think about what these 8 years have been like, and because I've talked about it with the other stars of Pose when they've come on this show, about how one of the main characters of the show is New York City.
Mm-hmm.
It's this living, breathing thing that, especially when you're talking about this one moment in time for our community, it all has to do with how New York City was impacted and how it particularly impacted the ballroom scene in New York City, late 80s, early 90s. Now that you are 8 years in, how has your relationship with New York changed, and how much of it has changed because of your association with this show? Do you look at New York City differently?
Absolutely. So when I first moved to New York, it was sort of a safe haven for me. It was a place where I could come to be anonymous. I come from a small town, and my family was fairly recognizable around town. Everybody knew us. So I didn't feel like I had space to sort of spread my wings and experiment and be what every young person be and do everything that every young person wants to be and do, in order to self-actualize and figure out who they are. So coming to New York, it was like so full of life. It was fast paced. The arts are everywhere, from the subways to, you know, just free concerts in the park, and everything is just so energizing, but which was also exciting to me. But the thing that I really grew to love and appreciate the most was the anonymity. I could, you know, walk the streets for hours and just like be hand in hand with a guy or a girl or 3 guys and 3 girls, and nobody would bat an eye. Mm-hmm. And which wasn't the case coming from Pensacola. And so now, that anonymity has sort of been taken away, now that I'm on Pose. And which I'm super grateful for people watching the show and the impact that that the show is having on people, and for people sort of identifying with Ricky and, you know, being excited when they see me. But that was sort of one of my favorite things, is being anonymous in the city. Mm-hmm. And now not having that anymore, that sort of kind of takes away the charm just a little bit of New York.
I can see that.
But it also, New York has become a bit more exhausting for me. You know, I'm looking for a bit more of the quiet and the peace that I found in a smaller town. And So we'll see what happens. I don't know what the next place is for me yet. LA is looking a bit more attractive these days.
Nice weather. You don't have to worry about public transportation that much. It's funny that you say anonymity, because season two of Pose kind of talks about how the ballroom scene was very anonymous in the first season, where if you were in it, you were in it, you understood, you were part of this community, part of this family. And then the second season, it kind of explores what happens when Madonna's Vogue becomes very popular and it's the number one song in the country, and how more and more people actually now look into the ballroom scene who might not have looked at it before.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of people can say that about 2019 and how people view the ballroom scene, how it's kind of everywhere. People are voguing all over the place. Have you thought about that part of it too, that level of anonymity, where this ballroom scene, more and more people are starting to recognize the importance of Pose because they know what voguing is?
Yes.
And that wasn't the case maybe even a few years ago.
Yeah, I think that the show is sort of really self-aware in that it's speaking to what happened with Madonna back in the early 90s, late 80s, but it is also speaking to what's happening in our culture today with Pose. It's really self-aware in that way. And I think that that's something that a lot of people aren't really talking about, is the fact that you kind of see this Pose effect happening in our in the mainstream culture. Mm-hmm. Fashion houses are including Vogue performances in their runway shows. At the Met Gala this year, that there were cast members of Pose who were dancing and voguing, and it's all over ads and commercials and people's music videos, and like, it's voguing has infiltrated the mainstream in a way, and trans women have also come in vogue, it seems, in this season, which is all really wonderful and beautiful to see these folks gain notoriety and gain attention. And I think it's as a result of Pose coming on the air and being so wildly successful and attractive to people. The beautiful thing about that is you get to see the representation of folks. You get to see people being brought to the forefront and get to share their talents with the world. What I hope happens in this time around, what I hope we learn from the 90s, is that while we are giving these folks the opportunity to be seen, we also give them the agency to tell their stories, tell their own stories. We also give them the agency to be self-sufficient and not just profit off of these communities.
Now, something that I really love about Pose, and I don't think it was meant to, I mean, it is what it is, about how a lot of what we witness in this show 20, almost 30 years later, is still happening, especially with regards to how members of the LGBT community are living. And one of the biggest revelations in the second season involves your character, where Ricky finds out that he's HIV positive, and what that means, how that affects his relationships with other people, and one particular character, which we'll get into in just a bit. But in this day and age, the CDC has released numbers saying that if you are a Black gay man, that one in two of you will probably contract HIV at some point in your lifetime. And then when it's for Latinos, it's one in four. And so when you see a character like Ricky, seeing that this is what his life's going to be like now, that now he's HIV positive, and how that makes him feel about himself, how the community feels about him because of that, it very much mimics what's happening now. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious for you, when you saw that Ricky, that this is where Ricky's story was going, where was your head at?
I mourned for him. I mourned for the fear that he would experience. I mourned for the discrimination that he would experience. I mourned for the relationships he would lose. I mourned for the pain that he would go through. You know, as an actor, you get really close to your character, especially when you're on a TV show and you're coming back year to year and episode to episode. It's you live with these characters for so long that you really start to empathize with them. So I mourned for him. I was really sad for him, just as a human being. As an actor, I was really excited to dive into this part of his life, and to be able to kind of add another layer of complexity to the character. I hope that this would allow people to empathize with him even more and want to to learn even more about him. I also was excited about the opportunity to be able to speak to the experience of a lot of queer men of color who are living with HIV and AIDS, and to speak to the experience of those who lived in the late 80s, early 90s, who didn't make it, who lost the fight to AIDS. So it was kind of bittersweet. It was like, as an actor and as an artist, I was really excited at what that meant for me and the work that I would get to do. But as a human being, I mourned for Ricky.
You and I are both 30, and mm-hmm. I think we were born, we were definitely born after a lot of this took place, a lot mm-hmm. of the emergence of the AIDS crisis as we know it. When you think about growing up and your own exposure to what could be, I think for me, I remember maybe being in my early teens and thinking, oh, well, this is what's going to happen to me when you're gay. This is just how life is supposed to be. Did you have any of those thoughts? Like, did you think as DeLon that your life could end up looking like how Ricky's life looked like? Because that's just what was around. That's what people were talking about. And
sure,
that's just the misinformation that we were given.
Sure, I did. This is going to be really kind of sound really strange, but I remember being a kid, like really young, and seeing the movie Philadelphia.
Oh my God. I was going to say that was the movie, but
with Tom Hanks mm-hmm. and Denzel Washington. And at that point in my life, I did not have a keen awareness of my sexuality. But there was something about the movie that really moved me and made me fearful, and that never really left. And as I became more aware of my identity, that it was ever present. I was always very fearful of that being my truth.
Mm-hmm. And I think the tough part is because we've been so conditioned from an early age to think that queerness equals death,
yeah.
because everybody around us is like, well, this is what happened to us, that it's hard to try to tell yourself that it doesn't have to be that. There we all die. There's going to be a level of mortality that we all have to deal with, but it doesn't have to be something that we just constantly confront on a daily basis, which is what I love about Pose, because it, as much as, you know, we recognize that there are a lot of characters who talk about being HIV positive, it really is about life mm-hmm. and about celebrating life and enjoying life. And you know, you were talking about fear, but I really do see Ricky as a fearless character. And even after his diagnosis, afterwards, you see that life within him never has left. It's still very much in your eyes when you portray him.
Ricky, he's full of life, absolutely. And he's a very passionate person. And I think that that's what makes the diagnosis so hard, is because he has such a passion for life, and he's at a critical point in his life where he finally understands the direction that he wants to go in his life and what he wants to do. And he's fired up about it. And then he gets this news that kind of rocks him to his core. So that's what makes it even more heartbreaking, I think, is just because of the timing in which it happens in mm-hmm. his life. But I think you're correct about him having this sort of like the zest for life. That's definitely who Ricky is.
When you think about like just explaining him to other people, what are some of the adjectives that come to mind when you think about him?
Passionate, sexy, he is compassionate, he's full of heart, he is complicated,
as we all are.
He's kind, selfish, driven,
mm-hmm.
He's a survivor, he's a hustler, and he's strong.
Mm-hmm. And I think he's a lover. He's
definitely a lover.
He, with Damon's character, especially in the first season and then later on in the second season towards the beginning, but also as we find out with Pray Tell in the latter part of the second season, you really do see that there's a lot of love that Ricky wants to give, and it's just trying to figure out the right person to give it to.
And he doesn't know how to give it. I think that he is a lover. That's why I said he's compassionate, because there is a lot of love there, but he doesn't, I don't think Ricky's ever really received pure love. And so he doesn't really know what it looks like to give it to someone else, mm-hmm. because he never received it. And so a lot of his journey is figuring out how to actually express the feelings that he has internally.
Mm-hmm. A lot of also what happens in the second season, on top of this huge arc in your storyline, is your dancing and mm-hmm. and how trying to figure out what that means for you professionally, or what it means for Ricky's character professionally. How are your feelings about dance changed? And how does your body move differently as Ricky than it does as DeLon?
That's a good question. My feelings about dance have definitely evolved. You know, I would often say, like, I'm not a dancer. I'm an actor who dances. And I still believe that to be true.
I mean, the way you dance on this show, though, come on, you're not kidding anybody.
But Pose has definitely encouraged me to embrace my dance abilities, and it's forced me to kind of push beyond some of the limitations that I thought I had as a dancer. And it's given me some confidence in my abilities as a dancer too.
Mm-hmm. What would you say has been your favorite moment from this most recent season? It doesn't even have to be from your character. It can be just anything as an
favorite
observer
moment.
You liked watching.
Well, I can't say yet because
like
it hasn't aired yet. So
okay.
One of my favorite moments actually happens in our season finale.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll keep an eye out
for
that.
So get ready for that. That ball scene is going to gag all of you kids.
When was the last time you went to, as DeLon, you went to a ball and just like had a night? And just watched the other performers.
You know, I, in all honesty, I did not spend a lot of time around balls or, you know, before Pose. The last ball that I attended was the Latex ball, not the most recent one, but the one a year ago. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you, those kids go all night long.
We left, it was like 2 a.m. and they were barely halfway through the categories.
Yeah.
I thought, man, we gotta wrap it up.
It's like they are serious, you know, and they go all night, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of energy, and it's a lot of love in the room. And so that was the last time that I went to a ball.
When was the last time you heard outside of set Madonna's Vogue?
You know, I've kind of started to block it out because I heard it so much this season. So now when it comes on, it's like, I don't even hear it anymore. Like, love to Madonna, but that song, it literally played every day for the last 8 months. So I think I've had enough Vogue for a while.
That's funny.
Yeah.
When I had Haley Sahar on, who plays Lulu on the show, because another character who has a huge arc is Candy.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that particular episode with Candy, she gets a category mm-hmm. that's added to the balls. If Ricky had a chance to get a category, or even DeLon, if you could have a category of your own added to the ball, what would it be?
Oh, that's such a great question.
Would it have to do with music? Would it have to do with performing a skit? I don't know. Like, not that that would be the right place for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe it would be a music category. I love that Candy got a lip sync category, but I would love some kind of performance, like a song and dance category. That's like, you know, I'm a musical theater kid, so DeLon would love to have like some kind of a musical theater song and dance moment.
Nice.
Yeah.
For those people who are listening, who either themselves or have kids who look to Pose or look to Ricky for some sort of inspiration, what is something you want to tell them about what can come to them if they live their truth as authentically as you've had a chance to?
The world will come to you. The universe will meet you where you are. I would say don't have any fear about being your authentic self. Move into the world without trepidation. and know that the universe will meet you where you are and will give you all the desires of your heart, and you won't be limited. In fact, you will find that there are no boundaries, and that you are worthy of everything you desire, and you're just enough just as you are.
Perfect. Dylan, this has been wonderful. Thanks for taking some time to talk with me.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jorge.